Welcome in, listeners, to another episode of the Busby Babe podcast. I'm your host, Colin Dams, joined once again by Nathan Heinschel and Polly Questel. What is up, boys?
Well, I was getting my hair cut the other day, and I decided not to get a mohawk just in case I want the Solskjaer call-up.
I was hoping that, like, by Nathan and I both remaining quiet and you preparing for one of us to interrupt you, it would throw you off, but you handled that really well.
That's the first time I've ever done that as a host, handle something well.
Yeah. Well, it's not like you forgot that we were recording today.
That's true. I did not. Officially.
Handled that one about as well as a shot at the near post for De Gea.
Speaking of, Aguero's retiring, but that's not Manchester United news.
No, Aguero's being let go.
I mean, where's he going to go? I mean, maybe Barcelona would get him, but is he going to go to another big club?
No, but maybe he goes to a big club, maybe he doesn't, but I don't think he's retiring. I mean,
has he been at a big club?
Yeah, when is he going to make the move to a big club?
Atletico Madrid and then Manchester City. Those are little brother teams.
Does Phil Neville have his phone number?
He's waiting to hear back from Messi, which isn't going to happen. Going into Manchester United news, of course, we've been at the international break, so there hasn't been a whole lot going on, but a little bit to talk about today. Specifically, we're going to get into...
You wouldn't know that if you were on Twitter, though. The people on the bird have been freaking out about one thing or another every day of this break, and some of it is just beyond ridiculous.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's just the attitude of the bird. I mean, you know...
That's the attitude of the United fans. If we can't complain, we're not living.
And the boat got unstuck, so what else are we supposed to do, you know?
That's true. I should have had a follow-up joke for that.
Yeah, well, your response, that ship has sailed.
So, in lieu of, I guess, a full-on preview, since we are only playing Brighton this weekend, we're going to be talking a little bit about Manchester United.
Careful about knocking Brighton.
Yep. Yes,
draw a foul for Neil Mopay, we're fine.
But, so, the news dropped a couple weeks ago, and we've mentioned it a couple times, but John Murta, the new... director of football at Manchester United, and Darren Fletcher, the technical director, both internal promotions, I believe, but creating new positions to hopefully take some of the load off of Ed Woodward in terms of negotiating transfers and signing players. Matt Judge is still on as a negotiation director. What do we think about this? Because it being internal promotions has definitely created the mood of disappointment, because people will, you know, just say that this is not actually taking any power away from Ed Woodward. But one of our biggest problems has been our inability to conduct multiple transfers at a time. Do we think that maybe this will help alleviate that?
I don't think most teams can't do multiple transfers at a time anymore. There's just too much that goes into a transfer. And everybody's always doing multiple transfers at a time. Remember, we didn't finish the Pelestri deal in 5 minutes. We didn't do the Ahmad deal in 15 minutes. We sold Chris Smalling, signed Alex Telles, signed Ahmad, signed Pelestri, signed Cavani, all on deadline day. So that didn't just happen. And it wasn't like we signed Cavani and then said, cool, let's now find me a youngster. Oh, Ahmad Diallo, let's call up Atalanta and work out a deal. We had been working on those deals simultaneously for a while. It's more of just when Chelsea signed 8 players this year, and essentially they said they ran out of time on Declan Rice. That's how they were moving in the same fashion. It doesn't take power away from Ed Woodward, but I think Ed Woodward gets the wrongfully blamed for certain things, as if people accuse Ed Woodward of being cheap, as if it's his decision. I'm old enough to remember when we overpaid for Morgan Schneiderlin and Bastian Schweinsteiger and a whole slew of other people. And the joke was, Ed Woodward goes into a store to buy a can of Coke and they say it's $1. And he says, I'll give you $3 for it. Ed Woodward, I don't think, has always been cheap. And either way, it's not his decision. Ed Woodward would have signed Jadon Sancho last year if Joel Glazer gave him the okay. It was well documented that Joel Glazer nixed that, said we're not spending $100 million on a single player. What it does do, though, is it puts a football person in more power, and Ed Woodward has to do the thing, like, does the things that Ed Woodward is good at. And if it's a matter of going to negotiate contracts and everything, that's fine. I don't care that you have businessmen doing that. It's now you're going to negotiate the contract for the player that I brought forth to you. And we have Murtaugh is more, and Darren Fletcher are football people that'll be bringing that player to you.
Yeah, I think most importantly with this, you know, new reorganization of who's making decisions, or at least who has a voice in the room, it's going to give, you know, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer probably maybe a little bit more say in the process, because we know Woodward's kind of been one of the big guys that signs off on everything. Obviously, the ownership, you know, has the final say, but just having more football people, I think, in the room is going to allow, you know, more conversations to be had. So that way you can say, I know that you're a little iffy maybe on these prices, but at the end of the day, like, this player makes a lot of sense for what we're going to do. This is the system that we have built out. That's what the, you know, the director of football is supposed to do. It's like, this is the style we want to play. I'm helping the manager get those players, or in some cases, I'm swapping out the manager to then make that system work with the players that we have. I don't think having more football minds and, you know, people whose job it is to deal with football in those rooms, making those decisions during the transfer, I mean, that's probably just all around a good thing.
Yeah, and another thing too with the Solskjaer point that you brought up, Nathan, is I mean, Darren Fletcher's only been on staff for about a year now. He was a youth coach, and then he became first team coach for a couple months. But more than anything, I think this commitment to more of a long term plan and a long term vision is got to be a healthy change for the club after, I mean, the Louis van Gaal and then Jose Mourinho years of seeking instant gratification with a hodgepodge team that was not good enough. I think we saw for a couple of years there how decimated the youth system was. And, you know, bad contracts have been plaguing us as well. It probably will still plague us, but, you know, the production side of things in Manchester United, and especially the youth academy, it looks to be on the up. And I think that the organization is part of that trend towards a more successful system.
Yeah, I mean, your mileage may vary as far as your opinion is concerned when it comes to the current organization of, you know, Manchester United. Like, if you don't like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, you don't like him. And if you don't like Ed Woodward, you don't like him. But what all these moves suggest to me is there's a lot more stabilization right now in the organization than there has been in the recent years. You know, coming from my own personal background, I work for a football team. So what you want to see is you want to see internal hires. You don't want to see, you know, necessarily external people coming in, because you might be suspicious of it because the person who's doing the hiring is the person that you have the agenda against. But at the end of the day, like, organizationally, other people see people getting promoted within the organization, that breeds positivity, and they are stockpiling pieces in the organization that suggests this is, you know, the modernized Manchester United way. We're going all in on having people that have been figureheads in this organization, both on the field and now, you know, making decisions. At the very least, it screams stability, which is not something that Manchester United's really had in the last couple of years. And I think that part's important. So just continuing to now, if you feel like you got your guys in place to make your vision happen, now it's just a matter of putting your money where your mouth is, continuing to modernize in certain ways that you need to, whether it be your sports medicine, continuing to flush out the academy. At the very least, these are positive moves that they are making, as far as what I can see.
You know, Nathan, I think you just made a really good point about if you don't like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, you're not going to like him. If you don't like Ed Woodward, you're not going to like him. And that's the thing, is that many United fans have made up their minds, and you can, if someone says, oh, the Glazers don't spend any money, and you show them the receipts of the statements and say, look, they outspent every club in Europe besides Manchester City over the next 5 years, they'll still say, no, they don't spend enough. If you show them you could show them the bank receipts, the bank statements, you could show them all that. And that's what ultimately is. We saw a lot of reaction to this by people who were just mad that they didn't hire their guy. Oh, I thought Edwin van der Sar would make the right guy, and therefore they picked anybody in the world other than Edwin van der Sar. Therefore, I don't like it, which is a lot of the reason that people dislike Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to begin with, is because he was hired to be the manager for 6 months, and then we were going to get Mauricio Pochettino, and that's who everyone wanted. And then we just stuck with Solskjaer, and people did not like that. The issue with this that people are having is that Nicky Butt left the club. And I think there's a little bit of some revisionism going into like what Nicky Butt did. The writing was on the wall. People are mad about Murtagh, saying Murtagh forced Nicky Butt out. But Darren, Nicky Butt's job was, well, it was like head of first team development.
Yeah, I think wasn't his job similar to what Solskjaer had before he left for Molde the first time? It was like head of first.
U23's
manager and then youth director or something like that.
Whatever Nicky Butt's job was, it was another word for technical director. And when they hired Dan Fletcher to be the technical director, that's when it was like, well, wait, what's Nicky Butt going to do? And therefore he left.
Go to Miami.
Right, probably. Yeah. And therefore, he left. Like, it wasn't that Murtagh took Nicky Butt's job. It was Darren Fletcher did. And yeah, you're replacing, and like Nicky Butt's a club legend and knows the club, but Darren Fletcher may not be of the legendary status that Nicky Butt was. Maybe, you know, he didn't start a Champions League final. Everybody wanted him to, but he was suspended for it. He's won the same number of Champions League finals as Nicky Butt. They were both of similar standing on the team. They were very, very, very reliable and dependable squad players. They were not the first choice midfielder, but you never had an issue with them when they were named in the team. They were going to start 30, 40 something games in all competitions. And then there's Nicky Butt is, what does director of like first team development do? He was in charge of creating that bridge between the academy and the first team, which he gave, you know, players have gotten there. Have they been great? Not so much. The academy has been overhauled recently, which has been great. And Nicky Butt's played a large role in that. But we've also signed a lot of guys from Spain and abroad. We signed that guy from Barcelona, or both kids from Barcelona last year, to our academy. And Murtagh's the guy that did that. So everybody just wants to get mad for the sake of getting mad because Murtagh is close with Ed Woodward. And I don't know how this is going to play out, and I am sad to see Nicky Butt leave, but I don't think any of us knew nearly enough information to know exactly what Murtagh was doing and what Nicky Butt was doing and how successful they were to be able to have strong opinions about whether this is a great or terrible move without actually giving it time to see how it plays out.
And you can look at Marcus Rashford and Mason Greenwood, obviously, as, you know, reliable academy products. But other than that, it's been pretty dry production. We haven't been able to sell players that were valuable. Anyone that comes through of value, we need to keep because our squad isn't that good. But even then, it's limited picking. And I mean, for Nicky Butt, he came in after Solskjaer. So around 2012 was when he became, I think, involved in the youth team. And really, between that 2012 FA Youth Cup team, or the 2011 FA Youth Cup team, and now, the youth academy has not been competing very well with other English youth academies in terms of competition. And there's been very directionless decision-making when it came to bringing in players. And I don't know, it just seems like, for me, trying to retool and remove people who have been in place is not necessarily a bad thing at this moment.
Yeah, you've got fans begging for the manager to be sacked when you're in second place. But the reality is, you know, we haven't you're right, Colin. Like we've made strides, and they're a shakeup isn't necessarily the worst thing in the world. If Sir Alex Ferguson used to shake things up all the time, because that's what you have to do. If you're the manager, the message can't get stale. So if you're the manager, there's only two ways to do that. Is either there's three ways. You change the players, which is near impossible. You change the manager, which if you're the manager, you don't want to do that. Or you change the backroom staff. So the message is different. And I don't see, look, it could be that Murtaugh is in over his head. It could be Darren Fletcher's in over his head. I'm not going to say I don't see the bad part of this, but I don't have an extreme reaction to it just yet, because we haven't yet seen this happen. And as bad as football people, United's board and Ed Woodward might be, like, they're successful businessmen. They know how to run a business and they understand hard work and promotions. And yes, Murtaugh might be close to Woodward, but he's not bad at his job either.
Yeah, and also in Nicky Butt's defense, let's not discount the 8 figures that Jesse Lingard's transfer is going to bring in.
There we go. Should we thank David Moyes for that as well?
Yeah. But I agree with Paulie, because at the end of the day, people are pissed because Nicky Butt's out. That's all they're mad about, because nobody on Twitter knows the extent of what this move means. Because it is so, you know, in the weeds as far as the machinery goes in that organization. Let's not forget Manchester United is enormous as far as, you know, all the processes that go into it. They run the place like it is a business as much as it is a football team. You know, this is a company that is traded on the New York Stock Exchange. Certain decisions are made that we will never understand why they were made. I think this is one of those. It's like you've alluded to with everything that you brought up. This might just be a refresh, and they've decided, okay, we've brought in some new, youth players that have gotten people excited. Let's, you know, bring in people that are going to work in conjunction with the people that we brought in to deal with the first team. And so if it wasn't Nicky Butt and it was just some rando dude that we had hired and it worked their way up to, you know, run Manchester United's Academy or work at Manchester United's Academy, and they got, you know, yanked for Darren Fletcher, this wouldn't even be a news story.
Right.
Or it'd be a minor news story. It would be a news story because it's Manchester United making some kind of move with their team. But it's not like, you know, people wouldn't be losing their mind and saying that once again, this is something that the Ed Woodward cabal is doing to ruin the team or whatever.
Right. So
internal promotions are important, everybody. Think about whatever place that you work in. Internal promotions are good for morale.
And bringing in somebody who does not fit Solskjaer's vision would just bring even more disconnect. And as coming from three people who are fans of very dysfunctional, historically, NFL franchises, we can tell you that there's got to be some transparency there between the front office and the management. So,
I mean, my NFL team already brought in a coach that had controversy before he's even made his first draft pick. So, you know, shout outs.
He had controversy before his last job.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a bad person.
Yeah. Anyway.
Shout out to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Trash.
So with this new front office team in place and Mino Raiola reportedly going on a European tour of what can you offer Erling Haaland at this moment alongside infamous Alfie Inge Haaland, who once destroyed Roy Keane's knee. What can Manchester United offer Erling Haaland this summer in this apparent NBA free agency-like transfer grab?
You know, I know Paulie made his comment about how you can do multiple transfers at the same time. When are you going to find the time, though, when you're going to take Mino Raiola out to, like, 7 dinners? I hate to say it. I don't think Haaland's coming to United. We talked to... Well, I saw you guys talk about it on the Slack. I unfortunately did not contribute. Either one of the major Spanish teams is going to find a line of credit that they shouldn't have, and I'm sure they'll be investigated 3 years from now over it, and get a transfer ban. But I think he's either going to Barcelona or Madrid, or there is a, you know, probably Manchester City doles out the money for him, especially with Sergio Aguero going off of the books.
Yeah, and that's looking very likely. Which feels bad, man. It's also it's a club Alfie Ingeholland played for.
Maybe he goes to Leeds.
What's Patrick Bamford going to do? I think this is just a PR stunt by Raiola, and we're not talking about this summer. I don't think Holland goes anywhere this summer. I don't see why he would.
His release clause comes into effect next year, right?
Exactly. The 70 million. I think he's just become this big story because he's scoring all these goals. And in the olden days, and by olden days, I mean, this is 5 years ago and longer, you score a bunch of goals, then they say, oh, Real Madrid, and everybody are going to come running to sign you. But since then, there's forgetting about COVID for a second. La Liga has put in wage caps, and Real Madrid's had to slash their wages by their, and the La Liga wage caps are for players, coaches, academy players as well. You can only spend a certain amount, and Real Madrid had to cut their wages down by about 250 million this season because we lost how much revenue from a month or 2 months of games last year. So now factor in how much revenue we lost for a whole season. Real Madrid have to slash that. And Barcelona don't have any money, but they both have to slash payroll again next year. But
I think with Real Madrid, you also have to take into account how much money they have tied up in the core of their squad, which is very much on the decline.
Right, and they're about to get Gareth Bale back. Yeah. Tottenham don't want to sign Gareth Bale, so they're just going to get Gareth Bale and all of his wages back. So there's a lot less flexibility from the big clubs that there used to be. But also, the story came out after Real had his meeting today that Dortmund want 130 million for Haaland. So let's figure.
That's hilariously cheap.
It is, but let's figure 130 million plus the fee to Raiola plus the wages, etc. The whole package is going to cost 200, 210 million over the lifetime of the contract. Well, you next season there's that 75 million release clause. So that Erling Haaland is still going to cost you 200 million next season, but now only 75 of it's going to Borussia Dortmund. The rest, the difference between 130 and 75, 55 million there, that's Raiola is going to be like, that gets divided between me and my client. Again, Raiola is not exactly Haaland's agent. His father is. Raiola is the intermediary that's doing the deals and why he's going to get a huge fee. Haaland doesn't need to sign Mino Raiola. Every club will come after him regardless. You sign Mino Raiola to make you the most amount of money. And how are you going to make the most amount of money? Not if you move this year, but if you move next year.
Yeah, the market right now, I mean, we're still in a shrinkage, you know, from COVID. Like, there's going to be eventually an expansion again as revenues start to come back in. These door receipts that they've been missing out on now for over a year now, where I mean we're almost 13 months into the pandemic at this point. Like, that was part of the reason why the Glazers didn't want to pull the trigger on Sancho, because it was like, we don't want to spend that much money and then have, you know, be just additionally cash strapped
unless he's a 42-year-old quarterback.
Well, that clearly worked out. We'll see if it works out again this year, but
They signed that 42-year-old quarterback before COVID hit.
Yeah. I agree. I don't think Haaland probably moves this year because you can maximize the amount of money you're making next year.
Right. And look,
because there'll be more money available. This year, people are still tied up. They're still really on like shoestring budgets.
And you go you could sit down with Real Madrid and say, well, Borussia Dortmund are going to want $130 million for him, this, and work out what the whole costs are. And then you are they willing to pay that? Yes. All right. Well, now you've tipped their hand. And now it's, all right, well, we'll just wait till next year when he costs $75 million. And we're just going to divvy up differently how that $200 million is spent. And then maybe they come to a deal and they come to an agreement for next season. That's more than possible. But what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. Donny van de Beek had a done deal with Real Madrid in 2019 that he was going to move in 2020. And now he's not playing for Real Madrid and he's not playing for Manchester United either, but he's at least getting paid by Manchester United. That deal fell apart when Real Madrid said, we don't have any money, we can't sign it. But for months, Donny van de Beek was, you know, he went through the entire, most of the season at Ajax thinking, I'm going to be at Real Madrid next season.
Yeah. And Raiola right now just gets to enjoy like an entire season of foreplay, a transfer season of foreplay, where it's just like he's in the news. He gets to talk about a client that isn't Paul Pogba, where he's usually villainized in those conversations. You know, he just gets to talk about, hey, I've got probably the hottest player in Europe right now who's scoring the most goals and is going to be an incredibly expensive transfer. Mm-hmm. And it isn't wrapped up in any kind of controversy right now. So he just gets to sit there with his little circular shades on and chill and just be in the news and just think about all the money he's going to be counting. He's going to be like Scrooge McDuck with the pool of coins. Like,
and don't forget that very publicly meeting with Barcelona and Real Madrid throws their name into the ring
SEO,
so that
baby.
You can look at, so that when you talk to other teams that might have a chance to sign him, you could be, oh no, Real Madrid are offering this much, so we're going to need how much from you.
Yeah. He's shopping him around as much as he can too, to just start getting the bidding war started. So this is all just the workings of a evil genius that is Mino Raiola.
And I think next summer is also going to be a big year for Kylian Mbappe, who's currently in contract talks. Just context of Manchester United's ability to sign either of them aside, who would you rather have, Mbappe or Haaland?
I'd probably say Mbappe. I mean, it's tough. You can still play Mbappe at the nine, but you can also play him at the wing, where I think Haaland is
a little. He does prefer to play at the wing.
Yeah, he's a little less flexible.
I give me that ruthless striker. I know it comes with Mino Raiola, but just give me that ruthless striker.
You don't want another left winger on the team, Paulie?
Well, Haaland is much more right wing.
Well, we knew that based on his Twitter, but
I think I'd rather have Mbappe, especially if we get Jadon Sancho this summer. You know, give me a front three: Rashford, Mbappe, Sancho. Yeah.
Saucy.
Let me just clarify though. United can't get Kylian Mbappe.
No, I think
The Athletic has already reported that Manchester City can't afford Kylian Mbappe.
I think it's very likely
he's not leaving PSG, even though he wants to.
Yeah, the finances would not work out. I think that they're also willing to pay him as much as they paid Neymar, which is probably another issue. So,
right. I mean, Mbappe's issue is I don't want to play in France, but also I want to get paid, and no one can pay me. That's the thing, is transfers have become so outrageous these days because of all the intermediaries and all the fees that go into them. And financial regulation has also come in that it's just made certain, like the market has priced itself out now that moves are almost impossible. So if you want the most money, it's usually going to be the team that you play for that can offer it to you.
Yeah. Well, CC Paul Pogba.
Yeah. Like when you make your move at 23 now, like you better be ready to be there for 10 years.
And just think too, we have another year because like we said, we don't think Haaland's being sold. So we still have another year for Manchester United to scratch up the cash and just buy Borussia Dortmund and then funnel all the players to us. So let's hold out hope for that.
Become Borussia United or Red Devils Dortmund or whatever.
MU Dortmund.
Yeah, there we go.
Dude, that Twitter comment where some when somebody where they like messed up RB Leipzig and right back. Like, this is literally the name of the club, bro.
Right back Leipzig.
Yeah, right.
That's funny. All right. Well, I think, do you have any other news really to discuss? I mean, Martial got a knock on France duty, but that was about it. Harry Maguire scored a banger yesterday.
Donny van de Beek played 26 minutes. We sent him out to get match fitness. He played 26 minutes in two different substitute appearances, but he scored against the mighty Gibraltar.
Let's go.
Hey, this is a tournament for minnows right now. Ask North Macedonia.
I was going to say, there are no North Macedonia, but...
Definitely South Macedonia.
Is there a South Macedonia? Or is
no,
that,
it's Greece.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Donny van de Beek can't even play for Frank de Boer. You hate to see
no.
that. You hate to see that.
Damn.
Speaking of managers that fail forward, Frank de Boer. Soon he'll be coaching the U.S. men's U23 team or something. I don't know.
Yeah, we need to get Jose Mourinho in international management just so he can keep up his shit talk. Like, the one moment of the 2018-19 season where I was full on Mourinho. Wait, no. That was 18-19, wasn't it, where he made all those Frank de Boer comments?
I don't know.
Oh, well.
I put all that behind me.
Anyways. I think that's going to do it for us this week. We play Brighton on Sunday, and then we're back in Europa League action against Granada. So I guess we can do quick predictions for those. I'm going to say we draw against Brighton and beat Granada.
I'm going to be honest with you. I have not done any research to develop an opinion for that, but I could see us definitely draw Brighton for sure.
My concern is trying to be Brighton without Rashford, and certainly without Rashford and Martial.
Right.
I'm kind of worried about who we have available for this match.
Bruno.
Give us a mod.
Bruno, Pogba, McTominay. That's your three. And then up front, you got, I guess it's going to be like Greenwood, James, and Cavani. Oh, better keep a clean sheet, guys.
That's a League Cup lineup if I ever saw one.
Oh.
All right.
We still finishing second? Do we feel good about that?
I mean, maybe third, but, you know, there's no more play-in qualification if you finish fourth in the Premier League for the Champions League, so.
Yeah, but the more I think about it, the more Colin's right. Like, the Europa League's most important because it's better to finish fourth and win the Europa League than to finish second and not win the Europa League, because
tier one, baby,
you get out of that pot.
Yep. Well, yeah. And I feel like I can definitely say this with, you know, authority as somebody who watched the Snyder Cut. Marcus Rashford's gonna be cyborg pretty soon. This dude is just like falling apart.
Also, don't forget that these Europa League matches count for our UEFA coefficient. So then, even if we finish outside of the qualification for new Champions League, we'll get in with our legacy points.
Hell yeah. Nostalgia Chester United.
Not that like we're not fighting to have ownership of the league, that'll give us automatic qualification anyway, but
right. Anyways. Yeah, that'll do it for us. I've been Colin.
Mighty Ducks pod with Paulie coming soon.
Auf Wiedersehen.